Public News Service Wednesday afternoon update. I'm Mike Clifford. President Joe Biden's campaign is calling on former President Donald Trump to join him for two presidential debates hosted by news organizations, that from CNN. They report in the letter the campaign proposed debate dates in June and September. Quoting Biden, "Donald Trump lost two debates to me in 2020 and since then hasn't shown up for a debate. Now he's acting like he wants to debate me again. Well, make my day, pal. I'll even do it twice," said Biden. CNN reports in a post to Truth Social Wednesday, Trump accepted the revised schedule. "I am ready and willing to debate Crooked Joe at the two proposed times in June and September." And Memorial Day is now less than 2 weeks away. And for two Arizona veterans, it's time to honor those who lost their lives while defending the U.S., as well as stand up for democratic ideals like freedom and fairness.
Former Lieutenant Colonel John Webster served in the U.S. Air Force for 20 years and says systemic barriers in Arizona's electoral system disenfranchise independent voters like him from participating in elections, which in turn prevents independent candidates from getting on the ballot.
Sometimes you have to change the system to get those people in. It's the system that's giving you the politicians or the leaders that are at odds with each other and struggling.
That's why Webster supports a bipartisan initiative pushing for open primaries in the Grand Canyon state. I'm Alex Gonzalez reporting.
A new survey shows that New York's population of asylum seekers is struggling and makes suggestions for improvements.
The survey by the group Make the Road New York finds, along with declining access to resources and services, migrants face the impacts of Mayor Eric Adams' 30 to 60 day rule. It limits shelter stays for migrants and asylum seekers from 30 to 60 days. Natalia Aristizabal with Make the Road New York says the rule disrupts many asylum seekers' cases.
You have to have a steady address. If you have a change of address, you have to communicate that to USCIS and the federal government. But if people are being evicted after 30 to 60 days and they don't have a place to live, they're not going to be able to update the federal government as to where they're living.
She adds, before the rule, people had more time to find their footing, which is important because translation services aren't always available. I'm Edwin J. Vieira.
And ahead of Endangered Species Day, this Friday, conservation groups in North Carolina are celebrating the birth of eight red wolf pups at the Alligator River National Wildlife Refuge.
We've got a couple of hundred in facilities under human care around the United States. And those wolves that are under human care are a critical part of the recovery program because they are used to supplement wild populations and wild genetics.
Red wolves, once a dominant presence across the southeastern U.S., are now teetering on the brink of extinction, with only 30 confirmed adults living in the wild. Recovery efforts also include reintroducing red wolves into the wild. This is Public News Service. It's graduation season, and in Minnesota, it's not just high schools and universities sending off waves of students. Organizers say they've seen a lot of people complete apprenticeship training for careers in the construction trades.
Building Strong Communities is a statewide apprenticeship program that prepares future construction workers over a 12-week period. At its spring graduation at North Hennepin Community College, 105 men and women received their certificates. Program Director Rick Martigan says that's up 41% from last year. He says coinciding with that growth is a more diverse group of apprentices, including older students.
And a lot of people are making a career change as adults who have been in the workforce for quite a while.
He feels there's been a more intentional effort to recruit the next generation of workers in the trades. Martigan says starting wages are strong and earned credentials can be used all over the country. National forecasts show an overwhelming need for skilled trade workers. I'm Mike Moen.
Meantime, an environmental justice organization in Wallace, Louisiana, says it will not back down in its fight for the health of its historic community.
The Descendants Project, which focuses on the cultural and historic preservation of enslaved Africans, has been successful in one lawsuit against St. John the Baptist Parish, but is heading back to court. The dispute is over zoning ordinances that allow industrial giants to set up shop on the borders of residential areas. And the battle is far from over, says Joe Banner, Descendants Project's co-founder and co-director.
So the land was reverted back to residential. But unfortunately, our parish administration and parish council went right back and switched its owner land back to heavy industry.
The land at the center of the conflict is known as the Greenfield property, where the company Greenfield Louisiana LLC wants to build a large grain elevator and export terminal. Banner says the area between New Orleans and Baton Rouge already has an overload of grain and petrochemical industries and has been nicknamed Cancer Alley. Banner adds that her organization has now filed another lawsuit against the parish to have the land zoning revert once again to residential. Crystal Blair reporting.
Finally, from our Eric Tegetoff, AARP Idaho is seeking nominations in the state for its prestigious award for outstanding volunteers.
The Andrus Award for Community Service is named after the founder of AARP, Dr. Ethel Percy Andrus. For the award, AARP Idaho will select a person or couple age 50 or older who performs services without pay in their communities. Pamela Root is with the organization.
This award honors those age 50 plus for sharing their experience, talent, and skills to enrich the lives of their community.
This is Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here are some radio stations, big and small, your favorite podcast platform. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.